Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to Al-Dhikrayat. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li am. Wahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to all the listeners. You're tuned in to Medium Wave 1548. I'm very excited today to have very special guests in the studio with me today. The studio is really buzzing today. In front of me I have some beautiful young ladies all the way from Fitz University, and they will be telling us a little bit about how they do da'wah on campus. But just to start today's show, let us begin in the name of Allah. Inna alhamdulillah nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyatina a'malina. We begin by praising Allah and sending blessings upon His chosen messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all praises for Allah, Lord of the worlds, who ordered us to follow His messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to call to His way. And may Allah send praises and blessings of peace upon our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his family, his companions, and those who truly follow them until the day of judgment. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, today we're very excited. One of my favorite topics to speak about is, you know, speaking about da'wah. And when we speak about da'wah, we need to ask ourselves, why have we been created? And alhamdulillah, Allah says in the Quran that He has not created men and jinn except to worship Him. And the best way we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by giving da'wah, by spreading the message of tawheed. So before I go on and on about this topic, because I can go on a whole day about da'wah, I'd like to introduce my two very, very special guests. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Sister Iman and Sister Maliha.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you girls doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Are you excited to be on air?
Very excited.
I'm super excited to have you on air. Alhamdulillah, I met these two magnificent young ladies at the Dawah convention about 2 weeks ago, right, girls? And I was totally blown away by the work that they were doing on campus, doing Dawah work on campus, mashallah. And they're going to be telling us a little bit about the work that they've been doing. So let us start by them introducing themselves. So Maliha, what can you tell us about yourself?
Assalamu alaikum to everyone. My name is Maliha, and I'm studying pharmacy at FITS, currently in my final year, inshallah.
MashaAllah. Welcome to the studio.
JazakAllah.
And Maliha is no stranger to Radio Islam. I think share with the listeners a little bit about your work at Radio Islam.
I think I've been on Radio Islam for quite a few years, alhamdulillah, on the adverts and the drama series, and I've also co-hosted a few presentations, a preview program.
MashaAllah, so I'm sure the listeners are quite acquainted with your beautiful voice, MashaAllah. And then we have Sister Iman. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And tell us a little bit about yourself, Iman.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So my name is Iman, and I'm also a student at BUTS, pharmacy student, inshallah, doing my final year. Me, on the other hand, I'm very new to Radio Islam.
First time, actually.
It is my first time.
Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to the station.
Thank you so much.
And it's always so special to have the guests in studio with us. It just brightens up our studio. It makes it so much more exciting, alhamdulillah. And I hope the listeners are feeling that same energy that I'm feeling in the studio today.
Ameen.
Mashallah. The lines are open, so do give us a call. The number to call is 011-854-1548. So tell us, girls, what have you guys been doing on campus? Tell us about campus life. What's it all about? I've been on campus many, many moons ago, so I'm sure lots have changed since then. Mm-hmm. So tell us about campus life.
A lot has changed. I feel like, alhamdulillah, we're so blessed to be Muslims in the 21st century and like have the opportunity to be studying at the university, as girls especially. And alhamdulillah, it's so wonderful to see how many people are actually in the medical field, especially in Parktown at FITS. And lots of them are females as well. So that's really beautiful to see, alhamdulillah. Through the mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, Allah inspired us to start a little initiative on a medical school campus, and it's just a small da'wah table that we try to do every week, inshallah. And this is just where we hand out books, inshallah, and give people a little bit of advice about Islam and what Islam entails and what it's about. And also we've had some events recently, and alhamdulillah, it's going well through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
MashaAllah, that is brilliant. Iman, tell us, how did this initiative start?
I would say because alhamdulillah, like Malia was saying, we in an environment where it can either make or break you. So I think it's very important when we were thinking about it, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us think that, you know what, we can use this situation and we can use this environment, inshallah, to bring people into Islam, because that is our ultimate goal. Inshallah, to follow the footsteps of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to help every person attain Jannah and save every person from Jahannam. So for us, it was like sitting in an auditorium and in a lecture. I mean, you know, you're sitting next to these people that are your friends, and you're teaching them maybe about work, whatever it may be, anatomy, physiology, but are we teaching them the akhirah? Are we teaching them things for the akhirah? Are we teaching them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because alhamdulillah, we were born into Islam, but these people need that guidance, and we felt like, inshallah, we can be that means of guidance, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed us there for a specific reason. So not just going after the dunya, but also, inshallah, bringing them with us into the akhirah. So I think that was very important for us in pushing us towards doing this, in seeing that there's so many people that need to know about Allah, that need to know about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we thought we need to just try and start something, inshallah, to make it happen.
What a great, great initiative. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for all your great intentions and the great work that you guys are doing, mashallah. But just having said that, you know, what brings to mind is the fikr in the ghum of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this constant worry and this constant sadness in his heart that every single human being that has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter Jannah al-Firdaus, inshallah, and to save every single soul from the Jahannam. Fire of Jahannam. And mashallah, this is what I hear in your words, in your sentiments, in your thoughts. May Allah ta'ala accept, and inshallah, this is the best place to start from your heart. You know, so we can reach out and turn one heart at a time, inshallah, and try and change one heart at a time, inshallah. And you know, I love what you girls are doing, because it's based on love. It's showing love for humanity and showing love for Allah's creation and wanting everyone to taste the sweetness and this khushu and this, you know, this sense of iman that we felt. And like you're saying, being born Muslims, these are the things that we take for granted.
100%.
And just this very concept of tawheed, to believe in the oneness of Allah, is something that comes so naturally. Alhamdulillah, and this is the gift of iman, where tawheed comes so naturally. And when you are conversing and speaking to a non-Muslim, sometimes that's a challenge.
Yes.
Because the difference is the tawheed, you know, when you're so stuck in kufr, when you're so stuck in shirk, it's very difficult to understand the concept of oneness.
Yes.
Having worked on campus and speaking to non-Muslims, and how do you come across and how do you, you know, spread this message of tawheed to them? Let's start with Maliha.
Inshallah, we just try to, you know, I think it's really important, like Mu'allima Taslim was saying, that dawah begins from the heart, and dawah is spread chest to chest, from heart to heart. And I think we don't need to be very scientific about things, and we don't need to be very explicit, but inshallah, just by our actions and like our ways, inshallah, we can try to make people embrace Islam, inshallah, just with our character as well. So language is a bit of a barrier at times, because not everyone understands where we come from and the beliefs as well. And sometimes there's also a lot of misconceptions around, you know, what people think with the media as well. And it's just a lovely opportunity to be able to converse with them and try and clear up some of those misconceptions. So we really don't have a method of going about doing it, but alhamdulillah, with the table, then people, like Allah makes it such that they come forward on their own, and then they have these burning questions about Islam, and then we just try and answer them, alhamdulillah. And then also, I think Apa Fatima from the Dawah initiative as well, she gave us also a lot of literature. So they come in various languages as well, like Afrikaans and the African languages. And then we try and make the Qur'ans available in those as well, in those languages, and give them also some sort of contact information that if they have any questions that we are unable to answer, they can always have a look at that.
Wow, that's brilliant. So like a follow-up number where they can contact.
And there's a website as well.
Okay, maybe towards the end of the show we can give out those details, inshallah.
Definitely.
So Sayman, what common misconceptions about the deen have you guys come across?
I would say like one big thing is like where the hijab is concerned. Alhamdulillah, we were able to later on, inshallah, we'll be discussing the events that we had. But I think a big misconception that lots of people didn't understand is they don't understand why we wear the hijab. They don't understand why we have to be covered up. And then for me, like I've come across a lot of people that don't understand why I wear the niqab. And alhamdulillah, it's been... In the beginning, you're a bit scared and you think like, oh my word, how are you going to explain this to people? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened it up so beautifully for you. And I've noticed this, that when people actually come in and they ask you like, but why do you have to cover up? Like, why do you have to wear, the dress, ma'abaya, they'll call it a dress. And I'll be like, and then we explain to them, you know, like how a woman is like a pearl in Islam. And we explain to them that if you have like something that's really precious to you, like I tell the girls, like whenever the girls are there, I'm like, you know, we love our makeup, we love our jewelry, whatever. So if you had like a really, really priceless piece of jewelry, would you just leave it laying around? Or if you're going to a dangerous area, would you just go and be flaunting it for everyone? Then they tell me no. Then I'll be like, so in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that women are so much more precious and more sacred than any commodity, than any diamond. So this is why we wear the hijab. This is why we cover up. And literally, Mu'allima, their eyes light up. Literally, like, I can see that they look and they're like, wow, I want to do that. And then they start giving me comments, like us comments, and they'll be like, that's so beautiful. Oh my word, really? And then we carry on to tell them, like, you know, how Jannah lies at the feet of your mother and the status of women in Islam. And they'll be like, really? That's what Islam teaches about women? That's why you guys cover up. No wonder you guys should be covering up, you know. Then we tell them, no, not us, you, all of us should be covering up. Because that also, I think, would lead to Mu'allima's other question, is that we always try to take the approach that we're not trying to enforce Islam on you. We're not trying to make you see that we are right and you are wrong. You have a belief, we have a belief. Let's discuss things. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about what I believe. Let's talk about what you believe. Then we come to common ground.
So opening that those lines of communication.
Definitely.
And making an Islam, making a Muslim somebody that's approachable.
100%.
Because sometimes when they see you in niqab, it can be quite daunting and strange for somebody that's not used to that, you know?
Yes.
Even for Muslim people to see a lady in niqab sometimes a
they
problem.
Don't, yes. They
so,
don't know.
Alhamdulillah, this does break those barriers
the
and inshallah open those bridges for communication, inshallah.
I mean.
What do you ladies have to say to parents out there that are actually scared to send their, you know, their newly qualified school children, once they finished school, now to university? What do you have to say to them? Because many parents are under the impression that when you come to university, you're going to lose your iman, and you're going to get into the wrong crowd, and you're going to start smoking or drinking, and that's the other reality of things, and maybe that we can leave for another show at another time. But just a little bit of advice for the parents out there.
Should I start, inshallah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I know when I just started camp, when I was like about to go, when I just matriculated, then my parents sat me down. Like my abi sat me down and he told me that, you know what, we raised you in a specific way, but this place can either make or break you. And also what you have to understand is that no man is an island. So the friends that you're going to get, inshallah, they could also make or break you. And he told me, inshallah, you're either going to go there and make a difference or it's going to swallow you in. So one thing I can say 100% is very important is to make dua as the child. Make constant dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you. I told my sister this as well because she recently started campus. Make constant dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps you, like preserves you, and Allah Ta'ala uses you for deen. Allah uses you as a beacon of light for his deen at this and in this environment, and that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala places you in the company of people that will help you in this endeavor, that will help you down that journey. Because alhamdulillah, as Mu'allima can see, I have Malia here,
mashallah,
and she is like all of my friends, alhamdulillah, at campus. They are so motivating. Like, it really helps when you have that support system, when you're not alone, when people are like, okay, let's do a dawah table, let's have this initiative, let's speak to people about Islam. It really helps you, then you don't feel out, you feel like you have that backing.
And that really gives you the support you need, especially when you're starting off projects like this in the initial stages.
Yes.
You're scared, you don't know if it's going to work, you might get laughed at, but if you have a strong force close behind you.
100%.
Alhamdulillah, and especially like you said, you have sisters in deen that are on the same mission as you, that have the same, you know, the same wavelength of thinking, and you're on that same spiritual level.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah, that can make a huge, huge difference to 100%. The work that you do. And also just thinking about Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi's famous quote, and he said, whatever you are seeking is seeking you. So I think you were seeking Malia and Malia was seeking you. Alhamdulillah. But I think just like what you were saying, having that intention, and you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warns us so strongly in a hadith, and he said, you are in the religion of your friends. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes on to say that be careful who you befriend. So I think that's such an important thing to remember, because in that is so much of psychology, because the books that we read, the company that we find ourselves in, that is going to determine who you're going to be eventually, because birds of a feather flock together.
100%.
So if you find yourself in good company, alhamdulillah, that is a start to something good,
100%.
And it makes your journey easier.
So much easier.
Am I right, Malia?
Definitely, 100%.
What are some of the challenges you found, especially with regards to when a non-believer comes to your table and questions you about politics or ISIS or some of the more controversial topics that come up in the news?
I think that's a bit difficult in a way to try and persuade them to what actually is the truth, inshallah. So, because nowadays, as we know, the media can kind of brainwash us. And there's a lot out there that if you kind of ignorant to what we actually taught about Islam, then you might just fall prey to and believe what they say. It's natural, of course. So, one of it was about the hijab as well, that how they think, like people would think that it's so oppressive and we are forced to wear the hijab. But alhamdulillah, we explained to them that of course it's not this way, and it's the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only to protect us, because we are the pearls of this dunya, we are the pearls of this earth, and that is why we need to cover up. Another controversial thing, I'm not so sure what has came up.
Divorce. I know, like one time, someone asked me. They were like, so I know that, like, in Islam you have a lot of rights, but I know when it comes to divorce, you have no rights. Like, the woman can't say anything. And subhanAllah, like, when you start explaining to them the rights that women have, like, I think it just comes down to taking a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
Not, and you as the da'i, like, you need to keep yourself composed. Like, you need to realize that in this situation, you are the only Islam that this person knows. So even if they are coming at you and they are angry maybe, or they, like, agitated and they're like, yes, ISIS does so. You know, we need to remain composed. And then, alhamdulillah, some good advice that we got was that, you know what, tell them, don't worry if you have that question, inshallah we're going to have a program just for that. We're
mm-hmm.
going to have a program just so that it deters that a little bit, so that everybody else that is there maybe to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not deterred. And then have an actual event on those controversial topics with the people that are that have enough freedom, inshallah, to handle those kind of topics, so that wherever whatever questions these people have, they can voice it there. But then tell them that, you know what, like, say if maybe our topic for today is Allah, we say no problem. If you have that question, we're going to have another event, but let me tell you about Allah, just to, like, you know, simmer them down
mm-hmm.
a little bit, and then afterwards get to that. But let them understand what Islam is, then we can get to the controversial.
Okay. I think fascinating topic, inshallah. You know, just speaking about the meaning of da'wah, we know that it means to invite. Da'wah has two dimensions to it. It can be external or internal. You know, sometimes when Muslim people approach your table, because now we're doing internal da'wah, which is just as important as external da'wah. And it brings to mind the story of Abasa wa Tawalla when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is approached by the blind Sahaba, right? And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then later reveals this ayah to say that, you know, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frowned and turned around. And at that point, obviously, when you look at it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressing the Quraysh.
Yes.
And at that point, if he had to win them over, it would bring a whole lot of new Muslims to the fold of Islam. And he already thought, okay, this blind Sahabi, he has Iman. Let me now focus on the Quraysh and get the Kuffar to, you know, to start believing, inshallah. And this is when Allah says that your job is just to convey the message.
Yes.
Hidayat is in the hands of Allah.
Yes.
You know, and focus on your Muslim brothers and sisters as well.
Because
sometimes we tend to neglect our Muslim brothers and sisters. Or sometimes if we want to give da'wah to a Muslim sister, she'll say, don't bother with me, I'm Muslim already. Rather speak to somebody that doesn't believe.
Yes.
But I think essentially they always say the speaker's ears are closest to the speaker's mouth. So when we're giving da'wah, when you are da'i yourself, the first da'wah you're giving is to yourself. Because your heart needs to speak about Allah. And the more you speak about Allah, the more you fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I don't think at any point if you are da'i, you essentially just there to give 100%. The message. You're also reminding yourself constantly all the time about the magnificence and the beauty of Allah.
Yes.
And this is my show. This is what it's all about. It's a dhikrayat. It's all about reminders.
Yes.
You know, insan is forgetful. We've been created out of haste. So Allah says, just remind. Hidayat, guidance, the light comes from me.
Yes.
But the reminders is your job.
Yes.
SubhanAllah.
Definitely.
We will be back with these two fascinating young ladies after the break, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to the Az-Zikrayat show, where we talk about how to reclaim your magic and how to make the right choices to create a life that you love. I'm your hostess, Neem, and today we're talking about dawah with two amazing young girls from the University of Witwatersrand, final year pharmacy students. In front of me I have Maliha and Sister Iman. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome again to the studio. So just before the break we were speaking about the Dawah initiative that you ladies have started. So tell me a little bit more about the initial stages of how you got this Dawah table started.
Alhamdulillah, initially, like before the break, we were saying like what the home, like what our intentions was behind it. So then afterwards, we just decided, okay, let's just go to the cafeteria when it's lunchtime. Obviously, get permission from the university first.
Was it a problem getting a
not at all
approval? No.
SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it so easy. We got permission like very quickly.
And alhamdulillah, and you know, just something to say that alhamdulillah, we live in such a beautiful country, South Africa, where we have freedom of religion. And alhamdulillah, it's a ni'mat. And we're not grabbing these opportunities 100%. To do this work because we have no restrictions in terms of how we dress, what we wear on our head, what we put on our faces.
Okay.
And alhamdulillah, as Muslim sisters, we need to grab these opportunities and use them as means of da'wah, inshallah.
Yes.
So, you know, Mubarak to all of you. And I remember you saying you were three sisters that started the project. It's Sister Maliha, Sister Iman, and there's one more lady.
Sister Khadija.
Sister Khadija, who unfortunately couldn't be with us today.
She really wanted to be here, but inshallah next time.
Inshallah.
Okay. Gee, so like I was saying, then we just decided, okay, alhamdulillah, after the permission that we got, like when it's just a peak time at campus, like at lunchtime, inshallah, most people have lunch at the same time. So let's just go to the cafeteria and set up a table, inshallah, take whatever table we can find, and then just attract people to the table, have literature on the table, and then people, usually when they see you, and then they just come to you, and then they ask you, like, you know, what's going on, what's happening here?
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we just ask them, like, you know, do you know what religion I followed, you like, you know what about Allah, do you know about the last and final prophet, peace be upon him? And amazingly, people will be like, yes, I have heard about Allah, I have heard about Muhammad. They'll be like, I heard about Muhammad, peace be upon him. And we'll be like, yes, yes. And we get so happy. And then alhamdulillah, I think from there it started growing, and then we started having themes and everything that inshallah Malia will explain, and it just really started growing from there. And then like some of our friends from campus, they would actually come, and these sometimes are non-Muslim girls. Like one non-Muslim girl in our group, she's always coming to help us. So when she's there, then it attracts everyone else to come and start seeing, like,
so it sounds like there's a lot of curiosity with regards to the way you girls dress. I mean, Iman is in full niqab, mashallah. Malia wears a hijab, and you wear loose outer garments, alhamdulillah, maybe colorful, or maybe sometimes the abaya. So alhamdulillah, that's causing a lot of uproar and a lot of curiosity also. I mean, people are curious to know, why does a Muslim lady have to dress like this? I remember, Iman, you were saying that sometimes people think that you the married one.
Yes.
That's why you in niqab.
Gee, definitely. I know I had quite a few of these events happening. Like whenever we, like especially
when you're still very single, right?
Gee. So what happened was, especially when we had the hijab day, and then the women were coming up to us, like the girls especially, like they'll come up to us and whatever, and then they'll be asking me like, oh, did your husband make you wear this? And I'll be like, but I'm not married. And they get the shock of their life. Like, they
there's even this one situation where I was talking to someone at the campus as well, and Malia was there with me and someone else, and then she was giving us advice, you know, like on how to study and everything, and then she was like, yeah, you know what, maybe you shouldn't get married right now, and she looks at me and she's like, it might be a bit too late for you though. So I do have
thinking
that.
Thinking that you're already married.
Thinking that I'm already married. So a lot of people have this perception that your husband forces you to wear the niqab. Your father forces you to wear the niqab. Sometimes people even ask me, like, you know, did your brother make you wear it? And I'm like, subhanAllah, I don't even have a brother. I have a baby sister though, you know. So I think, and then after that, then their eyes, Mu'allima, light up. And they're like, really? So this is your own choice. And then I try to explain to them that this is not oppression, it's liberation. It's freedom. And then their eyes light up and they're like, okay, I wish I can do that. And then we become so close and that afterwards, and they're like, okay, after this, can I see your face? And I'm like, sure, let's go. And then we become friends. And from there, we tell them, okay, so we explain to you now, you go and explain to your friends. And you go and explain to your family. And they say they'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
So inshallah, we also believe that even if... And we want to tell this to everybody also, that a lot of people feel like dawah is reserved for certain people. And sometimes they're scared to do something. Sometimes they're scared to go because you feel like sometimes if somebody doesn't embrace Islam now, you're not making a difference. But it's not about that. Like the sacrifice that you're making, inshallah, hidayah, Allah has attributed hidayah to qurbani. So if you sacrifice for Allah, the wings of hidayah will blow somewhere else and your efforts don't go wasted.
That is so beautiful, mashallah. Jazakallah for sharing that with us. It's so beautiful, mashallah. Malia, what are some of the challenges you face wearing hijab on campus?
A challenge is that sometimes people don't expect it in a way that they don't understand why we're doing it. And then sometimes it's a bit of, it's not a problem. Actually, there's no challenges, alhamdulillah, in that sense. Because alhamdulillah, with our labs and things as well, like doing pharmacy, everyone understands as well. And in that sense, there's no challenge as well. So I think alhamdulillah, for me, I don't really experience a challenge for it. And alhamdulillah, like, I wouldn't like to say this, but I think that just wearing the hijab itself, even not being fully covered as yet, I think is an inspiration to many people, alhamdulillah, because I have been inspired myself, and alhamdulillah, like people come up to you on the dawah table as well, in the dawah corner, and then they tell you, mashallah, you're looking like so beautiful. Even the people who are not yet Muslim, they're like, you're looking so beautiful, and like, is it okay to cover up the way you are, like not fully covered? Is this fine? And then you explain, yes, it is fine. This is the compulsory things to cover, and this is the way. And then you explain to them also that, like how merciful Allah Ta'ala is. And Allah Ta'ala says that if you come to me walking, I will come to you running. And Allah Ta'ala is ready to accept any qurbani that we make. So alhamdulillah, in that sense, lots of people also who are not Muslim, they actually wear the hijab not being Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met this one girl, actually, she's not a Muslim as well. And it was actually at one of our hijab events, and she wasn't covered or anything at all, and we gave her a hijab, alhamdulillah. Then the next day I met her outside, and I'm like, you're looking so beautiful in your hijab and whatever. And she's telling me, I'm so sorry, my top is a bit open. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wear my jacket so I can cover up properly.
And this is
with
a non-Muslim sister.
A non-Muslim.
Mashallah.
And she has been wearing her hijab for like a week.
Mm, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
I think modesty is a common trait across all, you know, spectrums of religion.
Yes,
if you look at images of Maryam alayhi salam hanging on in the church, you'll see that she's
covered,
dressed exactly the way we are dressed. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So subhanAllah, I think just, you know, basing our da'wah also on those common grounds in terms of 100%. Our love for Isa alayhi salam and Jesus, peace be upon him, and how we loved Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and you know, how we love Jibreel alayhi salam as the Ruhullah, and how he came down and gave revelation to both Isa alayhi salam and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also, and our love for Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abraham, Moses, Noah, all those common stories in the Bible and Quran, and that's really a good place to start when you're giving da'wah, I'm sure. But I love the, I'm fascinated with the dress up, you know, the dress up day where you have hijab day and ladies can come and try on the niqab and try on the hijab, and that sounds like a fun day. I want to come to Fitz when you're having that.
I think this was on February sometime. It was World Hijab Day. So actually, we Allah inspired us to make it such that let's make an event out of it. Let's try and bring up awareness of hijab, and let's try and make it a fun thing, something that we can all have common grounds on, and it can open up the floor to discussion and, you know, create a dawah, potential dawah situation, inshallah. So, Alhamdulillah, it was very exciting. There was lots of fun. The buzz was amazing. And actually, we've got like a lot of scarves that were donated to us, Alhamdulillah. And they were like brand new scarves, very pretty and wonderful. So we had our usual spot where we were outside in the cafeteria, and we had the table. And then we had these lovely mirrors everywhere. And then we had as well the hijabs that were there, so the people could have a look at them and choose what they would like. And then we had, Alhamdulillah, like kind of these billboards, and we had where people could write down after trying on the hijab what did they feel or the reason behind, after like explaining to them what was their how did they feel about it, what was their response
about that, the initial emotion that
they
felt,
the initial and then after.
Okay,
and then Alhamdulillah they were really excited, like even our lecturers, they tried on the hijab as well. For the whole day they've been wearing the hijab, and it was so amazing because Alhamdulillah, like with like a miniskirt even and heels, they were wearing the hijab, and they were so happy to be in solidarity with the Muslims.
Mashallah. And they went into class with these hijabs, and they taught their lessons lecturing
they were even,
in the hijabs.
There were a few dentistry students, I think, as well. And they actually posted this on social media, on Instagram, and they were like, World Hijab Day, like the feeling it gives them, you know, how exhilarating and emancipating that is. So Alhamdulillah, that was amazing. And then,
phenomenal. SubhanAllah. And I think getting in touch with the human side and, you know, seeing their reactions to the hijab. Because as born Muslims, we sometimes take these feelings for granted. And we just put it on and, you know, think it's our second skins. But Alhamdulillah, and I love what you guys said, that we need to give qurbani. And I remember coming across a beautiful thing, and it said that we need to give sacrifice before Allah takes sacrifice from us. So many of us, we wait for calamity to happen. We wait to be, na'udhubillah, to be diagnosed with cancer or a tumor, or you know, lose someone in our lives, and then we want to change. Then we want to respond, and then we want to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what you guys are saying is we need to make this sacrifice.
100%.
And what you're saying is just giving a little bit of your time in this environment, where it's supposedly supposed to be such an, a Western anti-Muslim environment, and making it Muslim wherever you go, subhanAllah. That is amazing. Inshallah, we will be back after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Radio Islam International, medium wave 1548, coming to you live from our studios in Indonesia on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. And Alhamdulillah, I'm joined in studio by two beautiful guests from the University of Witwatersrand, sharing with me some of the very inspiring dawah initiative called the Dawah Corner, right? Okay, so welcome to the Qiraat Show. The lines are open. The number to call is 011-854-1548. So just before the break, we were speaking about the event. So one of them was the Hijab Day event. That was lovely. The next time I'm definitely... Please do invite me. I'd love to come for a dress-up day on campus. And what other kind of events do you guys have? Or what have you had so far?
Oh, Alhamdulillah, another one that we had was a Mother's Day initiative. So, Alhamdulillah, our sister Khadija, she is so wonderful and so pious, mashallah. She told us, you know what, let's take this approach. Let's take the holidays that people make and let's show them the Islamic view of that. So we said, okay, inshallah, if Mother's Day is coming up, let's do something on Mother's Day. Then, Alhamdulillah, even with the Hijab Day, like Malia was saying, like her, subhanAllah, she arranged everything. She arranged the scarves, she arranged the donation, everything. Then with this as well, we got roses. SubhanAllah, she arranged the roses. We got books as well. And then we just set up, and it looked really pretty because it was like all pink and everything. And then we had like a big board where we had mother printed in different languages so everyone could understand what we're doing. Then when people came,
We told them, you know what, it is Mother's Day, so let us explain to you about the status of a mother in Islam.
And what I'm hearing you saying is not really promoting the Mother's Day event as such as part of an Islamic tradition or anything,
but actually
trying to get them and
their
attention because
yes.
that's something that they're familiar with and they know how, right?
Yes, to find the common ground.
Brilliant.
Alhamdulillah.
And just to catch their attention.
Yes, yes, because we don't also want to make it that, like, we didn't want it to be like, you know what, we're not celebrating this day. We wanted to show them rather what Islam is about and what Islam is.
Alhamdulillah, in just teaching them that is in Islam, Mother's Day is every single day.
That's exactly what it was about, definitely. And alhamdulillah, then the people would come to the table and they would ask us, like, as you, like the usual, what is happening, explain to us. And we would explain to them, you know what, that in Islam we are taught that if you want to attain Jannah, you need to serve your mother because paradise lies at her feet. Then again with that, we could bring in the status of women in Islam and explain how women are not oppressed, how women don't, like, you know, we're not, like we said, oppressed or anything like that. And then, alhamdulillah, we even had a cell phone there, and then we said, okay, you know what, you want to phone your mommy and tell her that you love her? And they would phone, and some people would get so emotional because, like, their mothers would maybe be out of the province because they're staying on residence, and they got to speak to their mommy, and they were just like, wow, you know what, this is actually making us think of, like, we're at campus, and we're stressed about work, but now we're getting to think about our mummies.
Wow.
And we gave them the roses and we said, you know what, this is for your mom, you go and give this to your mommy. And then we gave them a book, and alhamdulillah, then it made us see that, you know what, these people, like, they actually, they're going to read the book now. It's not like you're just standing there and telling them, okay, read this. Now they understand and they feel that happiness. They feel like, okay, I did read my mommy, I spoke to my mommy, let me read this book. Then inshallah, in that also we bring in the idea of tawheed into it, the understanding what a woman's status is in Islam, understanding that we are not oppressed, understanding that we're not trying to say we are right and you are wrong, but inshallah, just trying to unite everybody.
Mashallah, and uniting on those common grounds, mashallah, and using a very, very friendly approach. And, you know, just speaking about giving da'wah and being a da'i, we know that Islam is not spread by the sword, and, you know, and this is a misconception also taught by the West. And if you look at it, Islam is spread on akhlaq and the beautiful character of our most beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I see you girls trying to display these characteristics, inshallah. Mashallah. May Allah take you both from strength, all three of you, in fact, from strength to strength, inshallah, and your project, inshallah. Malia, we're almost at the end of our show, unfortunately, but just in closing statements. Oh, there's one more event still that you need to discuss with us. Yes, we still have time.
Okay,
to
alhamdulillah. The last event that we did, alhamdulillah, it was very informal. Alhamdulillah, we just had like some earphones, and then we had like the Quran playing. So we played a short an ayah of the Quran for them, and then alhamdulillah, if Mu'alima was there, just the feeling that, like, it would be so, like, I can't even explain the feeling, how amazing it was. Some people would cry, some people would just, like, stare at us in awe, and they would be so amazed to be hearing the Quran. And alhamdulillah, it makes us think that as Muslims, you know, being born into Islam and being given that ni'mah and gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't appreciate the Quran, we don't appreciate Islam as much as we should. And alhamdulillah, this is an example for us first, because this brings us closer to Allah, and these people are an inspiration to us as well.
Subhanallah, and like you guys were saying earlier also, it's da'wah first for ourselves, you know. And alhamdulillah, I've seen those social experiments where they play the Quran to total strangers, and I've always wanted to be part of that project, because it's phenomenal what happens to them, you know, because essentially we are souls, we're spiritual beings having a physical experience. And if you look at it, we don't understand Arabic, unfortunately, because we don't speak the Arabic language. But our soul, it moves your soul. You know, and anyone for that matter listening to the Quran, we all have souls essentially, and we've all seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Alime Arwa, and we've all taken that Shahada, you know. So they recognize these words.
100%.
And their soul recognizes these words, and that is why we see this human emotion in them, where they totally have the soul stirring experience, subhanAllah.
And subhanAllah, they actually asked us for YouTube links, because some of the students were like, this is so calming to me, I actually would love to study with this. Instead of music, let me rather listen to the Quran.
Brilliant. That's amazing. And it's so fascinating for you ladies to watch this experience unfold before
you. It's like a
renewal
of your iman, 100%. You stand there and you're like, Ya Rab, why am I not doing more for Allah? What am I doing with my life? Like,
what I'm hearing you say, it actually pushes you and motivates
really
you to want
does.
To do more and more and more and more.
It does. It honestly does.
I am so inspired. I hope the listeners have found it. I'm sure they have found it totally inspirational. May Allah Ta'ala continue to give you the strength and the wisdom and the knowledge to continue to do the good work that you ladies are doing on campus. Mashallah.
And
that's the main thing. And also let this project grow, because you guys are going to be leaving campus soon, right? Both of you in your final year. So what are the plans for the project in terms of sustainability?
For us, I think, alhamdulillah, we love the work so much that we would go back to campus regardless of whatever we're doing, definitely. But we would definitely want to, like, whoever is interested, inshallah, if there are people that want to carry it on, like, if we can't be hands-on on campus, but just to know that, you know what, we're leaving these people in charge, whenever we can come back, inshallah, it would be lovely for us to have certain people put in place. So if anybody is interested, inshallah, in assisting, we're very open.
And how do the listeners contact you?
Also, there's an initiative on main campus, so it's just not restricted to medical school. It's also in Bramfontein campus as well. So, inshallah, whoever is interested in assisting us, alhamdulillah, you can contact us. We have an Instagram page, so I can give you guys the details if Marlima says.
Yes,
okay, so it's all small letters, then it's FITS _ Dawa. DAWAH _ corner. So, inshallah, you can just follow us and you can just DM us if you have any questions or would like to assist us in any way. It would be most appreciated.
And whoever's interested in contacting the lovely ladies, you can always give Radio Islam a call and we can assist you with their details, inshallah. It was an absolute pleasure having you young girls on the studio, in the studio with me today on the show. And inshallah, if this is the way our youth looks like, you know, inshallah, our ummah is in good hands.
Ameen.
Allah Ta'ala take you both, all three of you, inshallah, Ameen. From strength to strength and give your project, you know, enough, you know, energy to sustain forever. And inshallah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said something to that effect, that whatever good initiative we start, inshallah, that we will see till the end of time, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala accept all your beautiful efforts, inshallah. And I'd just like to close with a beautiful quote that I came across. It says, the capacity to learn is a gift. The ability to learn is a skill. But the willingness to learn is a choice. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala always make us the people of ilm. And inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala spread this nur as far to all the four corners of the earth. And inshallah, use us as a means to give that hidayat, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala accept all of us. Ameen. From me and my engineer and the beautiful young girls in the studio, I will be back next week, inshallah, on Adhikrayat. And inshallah, we will be having the Dawah Corner back with us in studio again. But assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.